If you join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Holy One, you love with a father's tenderness, a mother's zeal. Move now in our hearts. Breathe through the words we hear, the songs we share, the burdens we carry, until we discover our purpose in your liberating love. For we long join creation's praise and to shine with the mercy of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today is one I'm sure we've heard quite a few times before. I always think it's one of those stories that we should all be able to relate to. Everybody in some way, shape, or form have had that aha moment. But it always makes me think about a pastor that I worked with in Kansas City when I was working with homeless people. I was volunteering there. Now, he had been a drug addict before, and he had been to some of the lowest places in life. And what he would say just about every week to me and other people was, thank the Lord for people that were praying for me when I wasn't praying for myself. And it just comes right to home, right with this scripture. It's from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that what I have promised. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took that stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you continue to be at work in our lives powerfully. We thank you also for the truth from this word that reminds us that you're at work even when we're not thinking of you, paying attention to you. Sometimes it comes in a flash. Sometimes it comes in a much more subtle way. The truth never changes. You never stop working. Thank you for that. We love you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you regularly watch any particular television shows, but sometimes whenever you're watching an episode, it says previously on whatever there's to show, okay? And it kind of catches you up in a cursory manner, but generally you can go ahead and get caught up, and especially with soap operas. Do you really need to be caught up on what happened last week or the day before? It's pretty easy, right? I mean, it's the same thing over and over and over again, probably. Not to offend anybody who's a soap opera fan here. I apologize right away. In this particular story, we can say, previously in the story of Jacob, there has been a lot that's happened. We understand that when Jacob was first born, as Rebekah was giving birth, she gave birth to Esau, and then Jacob was born grasping on to his brother, and that kind of pointed to something that was going to happen the rest of their lives. Jacob was going to be grasping after Esau, grasping after things that weren't his, and using whatever means it took necessary to get those things. we understand that he sold, that he got the birthright of his older brother just by giving him something to eat. Something delicious to eat. Maybe it wasn't even something delicious, it was just something to eat. And when you're hungry, is that all that really matters? It's just something to eat? Go ahead and fill your stomach. Esau was so hungry, he was willing to go ahead and give up his birthright. So these brothers are at it, are at each other's throats. And then Jacob doesn't stop there. As they get a little bit older, he tricks Esau into a situation where Jacob was able to get the blessing from his father Isaac. Now, something else to stir into this soap opera of a family. Rebekah really favors Jacob. Isaac really favors Esau. And after all of these things that his little brother is doing to him, Esau finally says, I've had enough. But it's not one of those things where an older brother says, I have enough, and he bops you on the head or something like that. He's going to kill Jacob. And that sets the story for today's scripture reading. Jacob is on the run. And Jacob is alone. And Jacob is told to go back to his father's homeland. And he's traveling alone, and he's tired, and he's thirsty. And finally, weariness overcomes him. So what's he do out in the desert? He gets a rock, puts it down. They say he lays his head on it. Let me tell you what, I don't think this is really comfortable to lay your head on. Has anybody ever slept on a rock with your head on a rock? Some people probably have. Yeah, I'm sure some of you have. I know that, in fact. Some of you have. You've been in some pretty harsh areas in the world, so I know that. Yeah, you've slept on a rock. But that's only part of the story. He's so tired, he's so worn down, he falls asleep. And what happens next, maybe some would attribute to, I don't know. Some people have said, as they have looked at this scripture passage, in fact, this one guy who I really love in our lectionary Bible study, this one guy shared with me that he thought Jacob must have been on magic mushrooms whenever he had this vision of a ladder, okay? That doesn't say, there's nothing in the Bible that says that. I just want to let you know that right now. That was his opinion and his opinion alone. And usually once he says something like that, I just move on quickly to go ahead and discussing the rest of the scripture passage. Jacob has this vision, and it's about a ladder up to heaven, all right? And angels going up and coming down. Now, interpreted more appropriately, probably, this is more like a stairway, okay? And angels are traversing this. And God is at work in a very powerful way. Think about that. If you're seeing an area where angels are going up and they're coming down, where angels are very active and at work, that must be a place where God is powerfully present. And when Jacob sees those angels going up and coming down and doing God's work, he understands that there's something very powerful that's taking place here. And if he misses the point, in verse 13, this is what it says. And the Lord stood beside him, Jacob. Jacob is all alone, but God is standing beside him out in the desert, in the wilderness. And Jacob has this image of God at work with these angels, this activity of heaven, the activity of heaven. It's kind of a neat thing to think about, huh? God at work, the activity of heaven. And the Lord stood beside Jacob and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the one who you're running from. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread above abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. For a guy that is on the run, for a guy who is alone, in harsh conditions, afraid, not sure what the future holds, is this a word of good news? Yes, it is. Let me ask you something. For those who gather as the church, as the body of Christ, in a place, called Yuma, Arizona, in harsh conditions all around us, maybe not alone out in the desert, but coming into a place, carrying things, maybe not sure what the future holds, is this good news? For us, the witness, once again, of Scripture is this. God keeps His promises, and even out of conflict and trial, God never stops working. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.'" Hear that again. "For power is made perfect in weakness." Paul continues by saying, this is one of Paul's letters, "So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." What is happening here for our brother Jacob, who had been trying to manipulate and coerce and trick people for most of his life? Now he is realizing, who can he depend on? Who is already at work? Who will never stop being at work? And this moment, of all places, in this desolation all around him, he's able to recognize this incredible, magnificent truth. You see, these stories in the Old Testament aren't just stories that we learn in children's Sunday school. Aren't just stories that they write songs about. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. There's a deep and abiding truth and meaning in them for us. I was walking last evening and I walked over to the little walking path that our church has adopted. And it's on 14 and a half and 52nd Street. And there's a sign out there that says about how we've adopted this walking path. And I was walking along and I kind of had my head down and I was watching. And since we just recently had a little baby rattlesnake in our front yard, I've been really apt to look down where I'm walking, you know, for some reason, just to be able to see if there's any other gods of creatures, and I want to give them as much space as they want and need. So I was walking on this walking trail, my head was down, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, I lifted up my head, and I looked over at the hills right over there to the east. And the sun was at a particular place, and it was shining on those hills that they were no longer brown and gray, but they were literally glowing orange. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever looked around the area that we live? It's a beautiful area to live, believe it or not. It really is. I know that you do. I keep telling folks back east, it's a beautiful area to live, and they say, nah, it's just all sand. No, there's a lot more here. And it was just glowing, and I almost stopped in my tracks to be able to see that beauty of God that I'd been missing just because I was looking down. I looked up, and I was reminded that God blesses us in so many different surprising and wondrous ways. You know what's amazing is that obviously once the sun went down and I looked up there again, guess what? They were gray and brown again. But just for that moment, They were glowing orange, and it was that inkling, that moment, that inbreaking of God that reminded me, God is always at work. Now, you might hear that and say, doesn't mean that God's at work, Neil. Well, for me, it meant it. And that is the point. For each of us, as we have those epiphanies, those awarenesses of God working in our lives, that's what makes it important for us, doesn't it? It might not speak to someone else. I might have been walking along with somebody and said, hey, look at that. I said, yeah, whatever. But for me, it spoke of God's beauty and grace at work in my life. Think about this. Think about Jacob's response then. Then Jacob woke from his sleep. This is all as he was laying there with a rock under his head. Okay? He's sleeping. He has this vision of heaven at work. Angels climbing, descending. God standing next to him, speaking to him about great things that are going to happen in his life. And Jacob woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Yeah, I've experienced it. And I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. What he did next was interesting. Because on that rock that he was laying his head, he took oil. Now, he didn't have this fancy wooden holder that I have, but I'm going to get it out. He took oil. And he didn't have a whole lot with him, okay? If you hike out in the desert, do you generally carry, if somebody here right now is going to take a hike out into the desert for the afternoon, do you carry a lot of things with you? You carry a few essentials, right? Okay? And whatever you have, if you're out in the wilderness, you want to hold on to because it's important, it's valuable. And so whenever he took out oil, remember, everything that he had was valuable, was important, because he was traveling. He was traveling by himself. He could carry only a certain amount. Whenever he took out oil, that meant that he was using something that was important to him, that was valuable to him. And who was he using it to glorify and to honor? God. So he took that oil, and he poured some out over that rock. And in doing so, what he was saying is, I am going to use the things that are most precious in my life to honor you, God, to glorify you. Not only the things, God, but from here on out, I'm giving you my life. I'm going to trust you with my life. Before this incident, was Jacob particularly sure of God's presence in his life? No. No, not at all. After this incident, was he a changed person? Yes. Did he always make the right decisions? No. I'll give you that answer before you say yes automatically. He did not always make the right decisions, but he was now changed because God was very real, intimate, and personal to him. In an even deeper abiding way, in an abiding way, a way that was not going to go away. So he made this offering on a stone, pouring out oil, something that was valuable to him, giving us something that was very important to him, and saying, this is now God's house. Let's just go through what Jacob did here once more. He remembered God being at work in his life. He anointed it. He made a sacrifice. He gave something of great worth to him because he was trusting in a God, not in himself anymore and the stuff that he could carry, the stuff that he could hold on to. He was trusting his life to God. He changed the name of the place to give God the glory and honor, not to lift himself up, but to glorify God. And then he gave promise to give even more generously from there on out. The promise that has resounded throughout the Bible to all of the people whom God has called is this: I will establish my covenant, I will be with you, for I am with you to deliver you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. While this place was sacred now, because God spoke, moved, acted, and changed Jacob, completely changed him in this place, God is the power behind all of that. And God is the one that we can trust. Jacob knew his life was no longer the same. So for all of us who have been traveling, maybe we haven't been traveling alone. Maybe we haven't been on the run from someone. Maybe we don't have the great challenges that Jacob faced. But for all of us who are traveling, for all of us who have traveled to get to this place this morning, for all of us who are on a journey in life, carrying things with them, for all of us who are on that journey of life, looking ahead to things that we may face, for all of us who recognize that we are God's children and each and every person here is a child of God, we come to this place recognizing that it is holy ground, not because of anything that we have done, but because of how God is already at work in our lives. We arrive at a holy place. We experience God's unique presence. We make a response to that. Not saying, well, I'm not sure if that was God. No, it's God. And then we make a promise or a vow to hand over what we have for God's glory, for God's kingdom. We kind of do that in worship already, but it's good to remember it in this time, in this space. This, where you are right now, where we are, is holy ground, is sacred space. Not because of anything that we've done, but because God has brought us here and God continues to be at work. Like Jacob's response, we are called to have a response, maybe not exactly like Jacob's, but even more personal. What is it that you need to offer to God? What is it that you need to offer that is very valuable? What is it that you need to offer that you've been holding on to, that you've put a lot of time and effort into? It's a worry, it's a concern, it's baggage, and you need to lay it before God right now. What is it that you need to pour out as an offering to God, knowing that you can trust God to continue to fill and sustain you for the journey? On this holy ground, in this sacred space, what offering do you need to make right now to the God who is already at work in your life? I invite you to take a few moments along with me. There's already somebody making an offering back there. I can hear her voice right now. That's a good thing. That is a good, good thing. What offering are we going to make? What cry are we going to make? What are we going to say? What are we going to share with God right now and hand over? Can we hand over our entire lives? Yeah, absolutely, we can. Because God receives that. It's the most beautiful offering. Be with God in prayer.